Hey everybody, this is Michelle from the Messy Bun Mama podcast. We have an exciting episode for you today where we have invited a panel of guests. We ask that you be kind and considerate when listening because this was our first episode having multiple guests with us at one time, so we did have some sound quality issues.
And when she says be nice, please remember that the reason that we chose to keep this episode even with the reduced quality and sound is because I think it's really important for everybody to hear these women's stories. It's just, they had such great things to say, and we're hoping that the lack of quality doesn't reduce the monumental things that we're hoping that you learn from their experiences. So without further ado.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is the Messy Bun Mamas podcast.
Here we are.
So today we had a panel, and we are going to get into that in just a little bit. But first, we're going to do Mom Moment of the Week.
Yeah, Mom Moment of the Week. You want to go first?
I will definitely go first.
Okay.
So Mike... Mike sometimes does not get a lot of credit in the moment of our parenting of our humans. I think I give a lot of room for doubting some of the stuff that he does, or the ways that he does them, I guess is probably a better way to put it.
I think that's how we all treat each other, though. We're all just questioning each other.
It's so bad. It's like, I really just want to be like, of course you can do that. You're going to be amazing. But really, I'm just standing on the sidelines waiting for him to fail.
You're going to fail. Yeah.
So he was teaching John how to ride his bike. And I'm watching this all week long. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how it starts is he takes John, puts him on the bike, and our driveway, like, it has a small, like, decline as you come, like, drive into it. So
it's like our driveway.
Yeah.
As you come in, it goes down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he puts him on the bike and just kind of lets him go. And John just rides his bike down the driveway and smashes right into the garage door. Over. And over and over. And I'm just like watching this through the week. Now, first, John could only make it like a couple feet on the bike. Mm-hmm. And then he could make it like a little further till he started, you know, driving into the garage door. And then like he was teaching him how to like turn. And it was just a hot mess, y'all. I don't know what was going on. I really, truly just don't know what was going on.
And so, if they were doing all of this without training wheels?
Yeah, for sure. There were no training wheels involved. Which, by the way, who rides a bike? Who learns how to ride a bike without training wheels? Nobody.
Not me.
Nobody does. So, like, I don't know, like a week and a half later, John comes up and he's like, "Bah. You want to see me ride my bike?" I'm like, you're not riding a bike, dude. Like, you're
right.
You're like rolling down the driveway. Like,
you're stunt riding into the driveway or into the
right
garage,
into the garage door. Exactly. So I'm just like, sure. And then I go out there and like, I go stand next to Mike and I'm like, really? He's going to show me how he rides this bike. I'm like, he really just like coasts down the hill. And he's like, no, he can ride his bike now. And I was like, sure he can. Sure he can. So I'm just standing there all pious on the deck waiting for him to just fall and skin his knees.
So you can raise your eyebrows and side eye the husband.
Exactly. Lift your eyebrows and side eye the husband. And turns out John just, he rides his bike down the driveway, and then he turns and he goes around in a circle, and then he rides his bike up the driveway, and then he comes over to me, and he like does this like skidding stop that I could never do when I was a little kid riding.
I was never talented enough for it myself either.
So it was just like all sorts of, and I was so like, wow, apparently you can ride a bike.
That's amazing. I bet he was pretty proud of himself too.
Yeah. I don't know who was prouder, Mike or John. I was wrong. Right. It's recorded. Right.
I hate those moments.
Anybody was wondering. I was so mad. So what about your mama moment?
Well, so my mama moment of the week, and I'll try to like cut it short because, you know, I like to tell long stories. But we were without power for like, I don't know, 29 hours or something like that. It was a ridiculously long time in the hot heat.
I just cannot believe how much you run out of power.
It's been a lot less. Because they did bury our lines, so it's not as often as possible. And to be fair, it was like a whole eastern side of the state was out of the power, was out of power. But
not me.
Not you. Lucky you. We, because we have animals, we couldn't go anywhere. And of course, because there were other places like our own, both of the vets that we, our former vet and our current vet, they were out of the were out of power for just as long as we were. So there was just really nowhere to go because we had to stay home with the pets and everything. So it was hot. And Dan and I went back and forth quite a bit. I mean, Dan wasn't able to sleep with a CPAP. And so that meant like lack of sleep. And then it's just hot and humid and gross, and we're all surviving without our phones and technology and stuff.
So. God bless you, man. Because it's okay. Just so everybody knows, like her house doesn't really get good cell phone signal either. Mm-hmm. So it's like not only does she not have air conditioning, but she also has no cell phone signal. So she can't even like play on her phone.
No, we would have had to have gone outside and survived like the mosquito infestation to enjoy anything on the phone. So we had gone back with like just tiffs back and forth. And so the next day I was like trying to have like a reasonable conversation, like, hey, you know what? I understand. I was being kind of a jerk. I admit that. But I just want you to admit that you were being kind of a jerk as well. And he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. So me being me, because I was tired and like over emotional already, instead of like yelling, I burst into tears. And of course, at that same moment, Joe comes around the corner, sees me crying, and he's like, hey, what's the matter? And I'm like, nothing. And I'm just wiping my eyes, and I turn around and run into my office. Well, I didn't know it, but he had words with his dad. He said, you need to go apologize to mom. And so, but later that evening, when Dan had gone to work, Joe crawled up onto my lap and he took my face between his hands and he said, Mommy, Daddy is never going to make you cry again. And like, he was stone cold about it. Like, I fear for my husband's life. Like, if I ever cry.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. I feel like
It was just funny, but I did tell him the next day. I said to Dan, I'm like, hey, I just want you to know you should probably watch your back.
You might get shanked.
And that's when I learned that he had said to his dad after I had left the room when he first caught me crying, he had demanded his dad go and apologize to me.
So, And Dan was like, I ain't doing that.
Right.
But that's so good, though, because it's so important for, like, boys to be, like, protector. I don't know. I know that's not a popular opinion nowadays, but, like,
I mean,
it's just nice for them to have that.
To defend and protect. And not even just girls, but even, like, their circle. Like,
it's not. I don't know. I think it's good for us as moms to have sons and to teach our sons to, like, I really want to say not be douchebags.
We know some people don't like that word, but...
The trigger word.
The trigger word. But I feel it's a good definition of a good word to use of what I don't want my son to be, so... I agree.
Well, exactly. And you want him to grow up and, like, respect women. And, like, I know that sometimes we get kind of caught up in the whole, like, feminist blah, blah, blah. I can open my own car door, which I can open my own car door. But, I mean, I don't mind, like, if, like, when my boys run up to the car door and they're like, I'll open your door for you. I'm like, yeah, you will. Thank you so much.
Because I'm a princess, thank you.
I am, as I twirl my hair.
I don't think it's wrong to be, I always say this wrong, chivalrous. Maybe I said it right that time.
Chivalrous? Yeah, yes. Chivalry is, like, definitely something that I want for my sons.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we have our guests here with us today in order to help bring awareness and to provide a soft place to land for mothers who've gone through a miscarriage or who may in the future. The sad reality is that miscarriages are common. The statistic is often thrown around that 1 in 4 women experience a loss of some sort. And while that may be just another statistic that we hear as moms, it's a heart-wrenching one to say the least. Miscarriage is defined as the spontaneous loss of a pregnancy before the 20th week. It's important to note, however, that many miscarriages occur so early in pregnancy that a woman doesn't even realize that she's pregnant. I myself have never experienced a miscarriage. However, I've seen friends and other loved ones around me go through it, not only the loss itself, but the aftermath. Because of that, I will be facilitating this conversation, however, my participation will be limited. So without further ado, why don't we go around and introduce ourselves?
I'll go first. Again, I'm Michelle. I have had one miscarriage and I have had one ectopic pregnancy.
I'm Rebecca and I've had one miscarriage.
I'm Jeanette and I've also had one miscarriage.
I'm Holly and I've had 15 miscarriages.
According to the KFF, which is a nonprofit organization focusing on national health issues, as well as the U.S. role in global health policy, they discuss how miscarriages are actually different from abortion, despite the medical industry's use of the term. Medical providers often refer to miscarriages as spontaneous abortions, or by its subcategories, including missed, incomplete, and inevitable abortions. These terms are distinct from a voluntary termination of a pregnancy, commonly referred to as an abortion, or as an induced or therapeutic abortion in medical terms. Despite this, lawmakers have used induced miscarriage or procuring a miscarriage to describe intentional attempts to terminate a pregnancy. This is just one of the things that is highlighted of how the medical field deems miscarriages in a larger sense. So, ladies, our question today is, what do you think of the medical terminology used to describe infant and pregnancy losses? And do you have any personal experiences to highlight your opinion?
So, when I had my miscarriage, the doctor told me when I had to take some medicine to force my miscarriage to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, when you go to pick up the medicine, they're going to tell you, this medicine is for having an abortion, just so you know. It's on your medical paperwork, everything from now on is going to say that you had an abortion. She's like, you did not have an abortion. But just so you know, it's on there. And it really was hard for me.
Like broke your heart a little bit.
It really, as a person that was not expecting to have a miscarriage and then was completely shocked by the whole thing, then to tell, be told that it was going to be on my record that I had an abortion, it was really hard for me to swallow that that's there on my paperwork forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was really nice of her to kind of like warn you.
Yes.
Because I feel like if you were blindsided by that, it would have been so much worse.
There would have been a scene for yeah. me in public, personally.
I think that, you know, avoiding the whole pro-life choice, the word abortion comes with the fact that you didn't want the pregnancy.
That's the stigma so, around it, right?
Right. So when you call a miscarriage a spontaneous abortion, to me it's implying that the pregnancy was unwanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard for me every time they said it. I'm like, it's
stop
not.
Stop saying it.
Yeah, it's stop. Not an abortion. It's an ending of a pregnancy. It's not a choice that you made.
Yeah. Or like when medical personnel use words like your body's expelling the pregnancy or things like yeah. that. And mm-hmm. it's just like, okay, so I wanted this. My body wanted this. Like, it's just like, I feel like, especially if you struggled with infertility, if something like that happens, to have those terms be used is almost like harder yeah. because it's just like, I already know my body doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And now you're right. just emphasizing the fact that my body does not work the way that it's supposed to.
I think it feels very sterile.
Yeah.
Like, it is very sterile. And that was one of my issues even when I was having mine, and I was not kind. I was out of my mind. But it's just, if you know that's going to offend me, then why do you keep referencing that same terminology? Just, we're here in my room. Can we
right,
be people?
Stop.
Can you?
Right. Is there somebody watching us right now?
Right.
Do we have to use medical terminology?
Will this impact your raise for the next?
Don't say the word.
Will this affect your Christmas bonus?
Right. Well, exactly.
Well, and I think that, so did anybody have a female doctor be their first point of contact when they were having a miscarriage?
Me.
So you did?
Yes.
And you were warned about the use of the term?
Yes, and she had actually had 3 miscarriages of her own.
Oh.
I also had a female ER doctor once, and she still used the term.
Hmm. And you had a male. So I wonder if it's, because maybe the female doctor that you had hadn't had miscarriages before.
It was the ER doctor that told me that. So maybe it's an ER doctor thing. Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking, because you don't have the relationship with them.
Right.
So they're just being, like, technical, and this is what it is, and scoot you out the door.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to be an observer, especially when someone you love and care about is going through something difficult. We often say things and do things that are not always perceived well, or even outright hurt the ones that we love with the way that we're trying to comfort them. As mothers who are going through something very difficult, you don't always get the support that you need. Because of this, I think it's important to educate people on how to handle this when a mother you know is going through a loss, with a list of for sure what not to do, but maybe even the way that people responded well. Please provide specific instances from loved ones concerning your losses that were meant to be consoling, but were not.
I think one of the things I heard the most, because I've had multiple, mm-hmm. was it's God's plan.
Mm.
God has a purpose for it, which, like, you know in your head that that's true, but in the moment, you're not... You don't want to hear it.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was very hard. I also come from a family that's not very open about a lot of stuff. So when I started talking about it, because the first couple miscarriages I had, I did not open up about it. But when I started to, I had some people tell me that that's not something that's appropriate to discuss.
openly.
Ugh. Oh, you know what, though? I feel like that's a very old way of thinking. Like, I feel like moms now are, we're like, we will talk about postpartum depression. We'll talk about postpartum anxiety. We'll talk about hating our children. You know what I mean, though? Yeah. Like, yeah. I feel like we're more honest and raw with each other, where back then it was just like, you don't talk about those things. But that's also, you know, they didn't talk about domestic violence. They didn't talk about rape. They didn't talk about those sorts of things either. Yeah. So I feel like definitely our culture has moved progressively in that sort of manner. Yeah. But,
well, I didn't get the feeling that I needed.
Yeah.
When I finally decided that this is something I'm going to talk about, it was the miscarriage before Presley, that I finally decided that I didn't care what people thought anymore and started to open up and talk about it. And it brought me so much comfort and healing knowing that people knew my babies were alive at one point.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't make it to term, they were here. Like, they mattered.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped heal some of the brokenness in me.
Yeah.
When I had my miscarriage, I had been working at a Christian school. This was the second Christian school. If you listen to the Christian school debate school one, which, by the way, those are really good episodes. You should listen. And the pastor's wife of that school had told me that she had had a few miscarriages. And so I was expecting, when I told her that I was miscarrying, I was expecting this like really sweet hug. I love you. I'm super sorry. Or some kind of sympathy. And instead she said, I can't wait till you get over this. And that was it. And then she walked.
And she said it like that.
That's
like
what she said.
Okay. But did she say it like, honey, I can't wait till you get over this.
I don't know what to do with that.
Right.
Like, I already, right, how do you respond to that? I had already had no idea with when I had Landon, I had no clue that people waited to tell people that you were going to have a baby until your first trimester was over. I had no idea that you didn't tell people. Like, I just didn't think that miscarriages were, like, I knew it was a thing, but I just didn't think it would happen to me.
And you didn't think it was that common, obviously.
Right. I didn't have any idea. And so when it happened to me, I was like just dumbfounded.
Right.
And then when I was responded with, I can't wait till you get over this.
Yeah.
It was more brief and more hurt.
And from a pastor's wife.
Right. That should have been someone to try to help heal.
Yeah.
I can't believe somebody that had miscarriages would say that.
That's the thing on top of that. Like, it was just like, well, I've had them, so move on.
I really hate the, well, that's the how I did it, and I just moved on
right.
type of attitude. That's,
I wonder if she, like, just did a process for grief, and she was bitter or dealing with it. I don't know. That's horrible.
I don't know.
So, Becca, what are some situations that you went through?
So I'm a high risk pregnancy every time I get pregnant because I'm type 2 diabetic. So it was always a risk that my pregnancy might end up in a miscarriage. It doesn't matter what you do. It's just your body's way of reacting. So when I got pregnant, I was actually on birth control because I had a 1-year-old at the time. And I was like, there's no way I can handle another baby and this crazy 1-year-old right now. So went on the pill, and then it was like in between a refill on my birth control, and then I found out I was pregnant, and then I stopped taking the birth control once I got my positive pregnancy test, and then I was about 9 weeks along, and when I went in for my ultrasound, they said that there's definitely a baby, but we haven't found a heartbeat yet, but it could just be you're measuring earlier than what it appears. So then I scheduled another ultrasound and went back, and then like shortly after that, I ended up miscarrying. But what made it rough was the night before we had a church banquet, and my husband told our pastor at the time that we were pregnant.
Oh, I remember when he did that.
In front of everybody at this banquet, and they're expecting, and then the next day I had the miscarriage. So then I had to go to church, and then not everybody found out, but then they're like, oh, how's the baby? And it's like, well, actually, we lost.
Having to explain it 14 more times than you want to.
Just like announce it in front of the church, like, by the way, we had a miscarriage.
Right. So let me ask you though. So you were pregnant at the same time, like literally a week after, was it even a week after I told you I was pregnant with Malcolm that you guys found out you were pregnant? How was that for you to like, because they, at this time, they were, like, living right next door to us, and, like, we saw each other all the time.
Like, we'd be pregnant together.
Right? Like, pregnancy goals, for sure. Right. Yeah.
I never felt jealous, like, oh, you have your baby. Because
she's a bigger person than I am. I for sure would have been salty the whole time.
I'm logical, so I was like, well, maybe, like, something would have been wrong with this baby, or, like, just like I already had a 1 year old. I'm blessed with this 1 year old. I need to enjoy this 1 year old and make sure she's turns out to be a decent person.
And Loretta, like seriously, she's the sweetest marshmallow in the whole world. Now. Yeah.
But when she was one, she was this crazy kid in church that her pastor like gave me dirty looks when she acted like a kid. So I was like always like internalizing, like, oh no, I'm gonna have like this outgoing kid that I don't know how to calm down.
You were afraid you were gonna have a Joe. Yeah.
And then they ended up being great together, and we're like, how did this
happen? That you are definitely a way better person, because I have had people say, well, maybe there was just something wrong with the baby, and that super irritates me because, I hate that the whole, anytime somebody says anything like that, you're definitely a better person. And if I had lived next to Melissa or Holly or anybody, no matter how good of a friend I am, because I for sure had very bitter feelings after I had my miscarriage. I for sure wished people would lose their baby, because they would say terrible things like, oh, I didn't even want this baby.
Yeah. Right.
I hope you don't have them then, because if you don't want one, then
there's
plenty of us out there who want one.
My friend and I were pregnant at the same time, and I had told her that I lost my baby, and the next week or something, it wasn't very long after, maybe 2 weeks after I told her that I lost the baby, she found out she was having a boy, and she was like, I don't even want this baby now, but it's a boy. Oh. And I was like, how are you going to tell me that?
I actually had a family member say that maybe my baby would have been aborted, and that's why I lost it.
Yes.
And trying to be, like, comforting, but it just...
It doesn't make you... Why would you make that... Why would that make you feel better?
No. Like, there's something wrong with a child.
Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with a retarded baby now.
Right.
Right.
That's so much better.
Kid.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if you had a special needs child, you would love that child
absolutely
just as much.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So I feel like, which kind of goes into the next thing I wanted to talk about. So I am awkward in emotional situations.
And I've already started to like partially cry. So
I'm awkward in emotional situations. So whenever something like this happens to somebody that I care about, somebody that I love, I'm just always like, awkwardly, like, I don't want to. So, like, when my brother and my sister-in-law, who my sister-in-law is sitting right here, so
it's
yeah, it's Becca.
It's me. She's not talking about.
No, I said it that way because my other brother and his first wife had a miscarriage.
Oh.
That's why I said it that way. I felt like in person, I did not want to deal with it or talk about it because I didn't know how to handle it, but I totally was like, I can text somebody every day and be like, how are you? So, but I don't do good with like, I'm an awkward hugger. I don't want to like, so as people who lost pregnancies, what do you wish people would have done for you?
But I don't want somebody in here wanting to hug and cry on me.
Yeah.
With me that you would normally not even glance my way if I walked into a room.
So you wanted people to treat you just like nothing happened.
I want you to give me my space to grieve.
Yeah.
Because if anything, if I've learned anything throughout the process of infertility and miscarriages and everything else, people do not know how to comfort other people.
No, that's for sure accurate.
I can tell you that I've heard some of the dumbest things said, and to me, it's all
just, it's those old white men again.
It's frustrating to listen to. Like, I'm glad that you could cope with that thought because, well, maybe something was wrong with the baby. Or maybe it's just not your timing. Maybe you and Dan needed a little more time. Or maybe God's got something better for you. And those are not helping me process my grief.
They're too rational.
I waited 2 years for this. I got to glimpse my baby's heartbeat and lost it all in one day. Get out of my house.
Right.
And so that's what I would have wanted is, yes, do I want people to recognize me? I prefer a text. How are you?
Yeah.
I don't want you in my face.
Because then you can handle it at your time as well.
Yes. I don't want you in my face forcing me to tell you about how I feel. Get out of my face.
Or somebody awkwardly coming up to you and like rubbing your shoulder and being like, hey, how are you? Yeah.
Your face is telling me you don't want me to cry and I'm going to cry. So get out of my face.
I have a lot of bad experiences with it, but they're the two most helpful things with all of it. And it happened in the same pregnancy when we lost our triplets. I'm going to cry. The first was, what do I get friends? Rochelle brought over my favorite coffee and chocolate. She just texted me and said, hey, I need you to come outside. So I went out, she gave it to me, said that she left me and left. And then my mother-in-law, they came and she brought me one of those willow tree
mm-hmm. things. Oh, yeah.
And it was for miscarriage awareness, and it's just a statue of a mom holding her baby, and it, like, it was very sweet because it was like people don't talk about it, and for me, like, I want my babies to be remembered. I want people to know that they were here. They mattered to me. I wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very different because, like, my mother-in-law was almost honoring it, giving me a reminder that she recognized that my babies were here, and then Rochelle, it was like, she just wanted to do something for me. She got my favorite coffee and something that...
Just for you.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. it just made me feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have somebody bring me something, not even a big deal.
I was going to say, but it's still not in your face.
Right.
And, like, just, hey,
love you, appreciate you, thinking about you, leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was very
short
helpful.
And sweet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know what Enneagram you are, Holly. You know?
I've taken the test, but I don't remember.
Holly's a 9.
Okay. So because your question, I'm the complete opposite.
I was going to say, that's why, because I'm like, Jeanette wants people to be like, ask her how she's doing and give her a hug and give her all the attention so that she knows that they care. Am I right?
You're not wrong. So... But the difference was, since we're crying, where I was living, I was incredibly lonely. I had zero friends.
Yeah.
And so I was like alone. And my husband was working noon to 10.
Oh.
And so I just wanted somebody there.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing? I love you. Just to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't necessarily have to talk about the baby because I didn't really want to talk about the baby necessarily, but
right.
I wanted somebody with me, sitting next to me.
Watching a TV show with you. Yeah. And I would say that's the difference, is you don't want that. You don't want them to be like, tell me how you're feeling.
Yeah. Not, not I don't think I ever want anybody to talk.
Please
to
don't
me.
Talk like that. It's like Michelle's serial killer voice.
I feel like that's like they're like, I don't know, and it's probably just my imagined like drama me.
Right.
Like they're just waiting for me to cry. They want to see me cry. Where if someone, and that's why I say I want to be left alone, because that's what I would want, is if somebody were to come over, I want somebody to kick back with me and act like
right
nothing's wrong. I want you to just be who you normally are.
Be in my space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah.
Becca. I wanted to grieve in peace and then act like it was totally fine in public and just get on with my day. And that's what helped me heal, is that we healed together.
I think just stepping back and being so far detached from it now, I think part of the struggle is that you don't want to cry in front of other people, because so often tears and sadness are used as a weakness.
Mm-hmm. Or a weapon.
Or a weapon. And I mean, it's just your hormones. So I think that that's part of the problem with not wanting to shed tears in front of other people. It's just because so often it gets turned against you, or people
absolutely
see that you're weak.
Often when we talk about miscarriages and infant loss, there seems to be a group that is more often than not left out of the discussion, despite the fact that it was their baby also. Very rarely is it talked about how men react when there is a loss. And I think it's important to have that discussion just as much as it's important to have the discussion of how we deal with it. Because the child is just as much theirs as it is ours. So the mourning process, while not exactly the same, probably is similar. Or at least it would be nice to know, you know, how our husbands have handled this situation. So how did your significant other handle the loss, and how did it impact your relationship?
Losses. I just feel like it comes with the territory that some are more impactful than others. Not that they matter more, but they just hit differently. So there were definitely some losses that we had that affected him worse than others, and me as well, but more so him, because it wasn't his body that kept failing. But he internalizes emotions. He likes to process things on its own. It doesn't really matter what it is. He is very private about that stuff, and it's something that we've struggled with in other areas of our marriage as well, because I am very much the, oh, like, let's sit down and talk about this.
Let me tell you
all
my problems.
Yes. Right. Like, I need the connection, especially since, like, you're a part of it too, and he didn't want to talk about it. Even when my daughter was in the NICU, I was really struggling. I asked him to talk with me, and he couldn't. So
not that he wouldn't, he couldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying, but it just didn't come out that way. So it actually made me resent him a lot, because I could see that he was hurting and that it affected him, but he wouldn't open up and talk to me about it. And I still don't think he's ever talked to anybody else about it either.
My husband had always wanted children. He actually was married before me, and his first wife wasn't able to conceive. And so before we got married, I was like, just so you know, like, a lot of women can't have children. And, like, maybe I can't have kids, you know.
Right.
Just be prepared. And he's like, oh, you can have kids. And my dad has, I have 10 siblings, or 9 siblings. And so, there's 10 of us. My anyway, so my husband was like, you for sure can have kids. You have a ton of siblings. Okay, well, I mean, that's not really
how it works.
That's not how it works. I mean, yeah, I have a lot of siblings, but okay, sure. So we got pregnant with Landon. Thank George, you were right. I for sure can have kids. And so when we were pregnant the second time, and like, I needed that emotional connection, and he just wanted to move on, I think. Because I think that it was too deep for him, because he wanted children so, so very badly. He felt like, how could this be happening? I think. And we've never really had a super deep conversation even now about it. And I mean, the baby would be like 5 years old, four or five. And so I think he just was the problem solver, the fixer, and then let's just move on.
How about you, Becca?
My husband is definitely more open about his emotions, and I'm usually more closed off because I like to logically process like every aspect of everything, mm-hmm. and then come to a conclusion that way. So, but he was always the one that's like, well, the doctor said we can still get pregnant, so let's try to get pregnant again. Like, this isn't the end. He always had like the silver lining, and it's not what I wanted to hear, because it's like, well, I wanted that baby that I had.
Right.
I can make one, but it's never going to be that other person that it was
right.
supposed to be.
Right.
Like, I never got to meet that one, and like, so that was...
I was going to say, because I could for sure see Larry being the guy that took the time off
yep.
to grieve that.
I'd also like to add, my husband was very much there for me. Like, he made sure I was getting the rest that I needed. He brought me the hot water bottles. He did everything, like, to help me. He just wasn't there emotionally.
Right.
Which is what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, he wasn't just...
So, lots of feelings there. But he, I don't think that's a bad thing. But I think that that's a typical response. Because when I had... my miscarriage, Dan was very well. Dan wanted to lay in bed all day, and I'm a control person, and having a miscarriage put me out of my comfort zone so hard, because I couldn't control any of that,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't want to do is, when I get home from hearing that there's no evidence of a pregnancy anymore from the doctor, is I don't want to lay in bed all day. I'm going to rearrange this whole house. And friends, that is exactly what I did. And he's just like, we can go lay down. I don't want you to hurt yourself. And he wasn't being it. I don't think it was out of any kind of maliciousness or ignorance. It was just, that is how he handled it. He shut down and slept. And I'm like, no. This whole house is going to look different by the end of tonight.
I need to do something.
Right.
To control.
I know that, like I said before, like, Mike and I have never experienced a miscarriage. But I know when Larry and Becca had theirs, because she was pregnant, like, at the exact same time that I was. So when it happened, like, this sounds, like, super selfish. So, like, it's fine. You guys can all throw cookies at me. It's fine. But it was, like, we almost were like more scared, because you know, like, in the back of your mind when you're pregnant, you always have that, like, your uterus clenches and you're just like, okay, so you're just gonna stay there and you're just not gonna go anywhere, you're just gonna stay right there.
I think it would be absolutely normal for you and Mike to have a conversation about what do we do if this happens to us.
So we were like terrified
yeah.
for like weeks,
yes,
because it
that's
was
not
like
selfish at all.
Horribly right next door. And Mike was very open about the fact, like, I know we talk about husbands, I don't know. Mike is just like, his whole entire life is just being a dad. He's just like such a good dad.
And he's a good dad.
Yeah. And he told me, he's like, if that ever happened, he's like, I think that I would just die. Aww. He's like, I don't think I could ever emotionally deal with something like that happening. And I was like, well, 1 in 4, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah,
no pressure.
Thank happen. It did to not.
No, but it was it. And I think that I probably would be a lot like you, Michelle, where I would just like come home and like do things. And I just, I mean, I thank God for all my children, but I think it would kill him. Because his everything is the kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just.
I did a lot of laying in bed. My husband for sure wanted to like move furniture. Let's do 8,000 things. And I'm like,
God forbid it ever happens again to me. Just send him over to my house. I mean, he can grieve with me.
No, I was that way too. I could not function.
Yeah.
I was too overwhelmed with everything.
I remember a time where I was like in our bedroom laying in the bed just bawling. Mm-hmm. My husband was sitting in the living room with Landon watching TV.
Yeah.
And just thinking like, I mean, you could be in here with me. Right. We could cry a little. We could talk a little, but yeah. Sure, watch TV.
Yeah.
Right.
I actually think Landon was in bed. I think Landon was in bed for the night. And so I was like,
you can come in here.
Right.
Right.
But it was just the
just like hold me a little bit.
Right. It's just the difference in our personalities. And he wants to move on and I'm not ready to move on. And so
mm-hmm.
just how
I wouldn't say I was ready to move on.
Well, it
was just how
didn't
I
want
yeah.
to do it at all.
It's how I controlled my situation.
Right.
I controlled what I could control. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what he was thinking is I can control this channel
exactly.
I'm looking at right here. I can't control anything else that's happening in this
yeah.
house, but this is what I
for
can
sure.
control.
Well, I think it's also the fear of like almost, you know, what we went over about with the public of like fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of not knowing what to do, like fear of not knowing how much they can or can't feel or what's gonna, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
because the thing is, whether or not they have an emotional attachment, whether or not they realize they have an emotional attachment to the child, it's like that's still like was half theirs.
Yep.
So it's like maybe they don't feel it today, maybe they won't feel it tomorrow, maybe they do, but maybe they're gonna feel it in 6 months. Like, you know what I mean? Like
when
it's exactly
I sure know that he had an attachment to that child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually had a dream about that child like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I mm-hmm. know that he grieved about that baby.
Yeah.
It's just like, whatever, but it wasn't what I needed.
Yeah.
And if we're talking only about me, that I need.
You didn't do it, buddy.
But, you know.
That's one box you did not check.
Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I am Messy Bun Mamas.
This is Messy Bun Mamas Podcast.
This is Messy Poop.
Messy buns, you silly.